SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one down, hour number two up, hour number three to go. It's how we roll here on a Monday morning of the Early Line. Donnie Wrightside here along with Joe Raniera. The topic's absolutely fantastic, and it seems to get better and better as we go. And also, since we are a social media show here, Joe Raniera, anything that pops up on the timeline, a massive trade that goes down, we'll give that information certainly to you live. So the energy after, like, the topics that we discussed, the NBA trades, Major League Baseball trades, starting to chip away at the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals here, a Major League Baseball schedule today on a Monday. It just keeps popping here, Joe. It's what we do.
Listen, if it ain't broke, let's not fix it, right? Let's keep rolling we need as many games as possible, except in the NHL, before it's nothing but baseball here, Donnie.
Oh, boy. And by the way, let me ask you this question, too, because we're going to talk in just a few moments about the Stanley Cup. Would this not be, again, the most painful loss? Like, I do respect Canada here. They love hockey. But also, like, I don't think Toronto fans are like, hey, man, I really hope Edmonton takes this down. Or Calgary fans are like, wouldn't it be great for Canada winning Edmonton broke through again? But the fact that Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1993, on the doorstep again, Connor McDavid and the boys, home ice advantage, things were looking so good, and now they're about to get closed out, Joe, to a team in South Florida doesn't need a championship in hockey again, do they? I mean, come on now, be honest. We don't need that down there.
Oh, yes, we do. Absolutely, we do. Just to prove a point, Donnie, where everyone stuck a fork into no way you can repeat as a Stanley Cup champion. All right, let me know how that works out for you.
Yep, we'll get to the Stanley Cup in just a moment. But again, setting the table for game number five tonight in OKC, 8:30 p.m. tip time tonight. What were we used to in the first two games, Joe? Roughly double-digit spreads, right, for OKC. Switches over to 4.5 to 6 is there once we get back to Indiana. So let's get back to the algorithm. Why? The opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey for this game was 9.5. You know where it sits this morning, Joe? The same at 9.5, a total here in New Jersey on FanDuel, opened up at 223. That has shifted higher, 224.5 at FanDuel. Some other outlets, Joe, up to 225. But let's start with the side itself. 9.5, about where we saw it in games 1 and 2, warranted. And also, how do you think about that? What do you think about that line?
It's kind of interesting, right? Because we saw that and we know they are a different team on the road than they are at home. They have been an immovable force at home. And they were, 4.5, 5-point favorites on the road? Now, all of a sudden, this is ballooned up. Would it shock you if this goes to 10? It wouldn't shock me if this goes to double digits. But, you know, as you play a team, Donnie, in a series like this, each team gets to know the other a little bit better, a little bit better. And all of a sudden, points are harder to come by, which I think the total to me is the interesting thing here, where we started at, 230 when this series started? And now all of a sudden, we're just crashing with the total here. And it makes sense because you're not faking each other out anymore. Both these teams know exactly what to expect. I think it'll be a good game. I wouldn't be running to the window to lay that amount of points here, but I get why they are that big a favorite here in this one.
Yeah, we'll take some time also later in the show to handicap this game more. But let me ask you this question, because this was popping up before we even got to game number four. Like, the expectations on what game number five would be, right? So the thought process behind it, if Indiana stole once again as an underdog on their home court, went up 3-1, most of us were thinking like an Oklahoma City Thunder 50-point blowout win in game number five on their home court. Like, we have to win this game. It's at home. And then you see the Pacers like, okay, well, if we lose this game, we should have game six in our own building. Does your thought process change at all with Oklahoma City getting the victory in game number four and still that high number? Does it make you more advantageous, like just on the number to take OKC, or maybe people leaving the Pacers for dead? Now's the time once again to take them with double digits.
Well, we talk about it, Donnie, right? We talk about it often in football. Like, you don't want a team to lose a game twice, right? Yeah. And sometimes that's what happens in professional sports. And I think that's the biggest fear of Rick Carlisle and the Pacers, is that they know what they let slip away in that game four at home. Do they lose that game twice? And that's going to be the big question here tonight. But I like Carlisle. I think he's much better and much more suited for this spot to handle this team and get them ready. You know, we're at game five, Donnie. Why are we laying nearly double digits with anybody with two teams that have already proven one is extremely undervalued and we continue to overvalue the other? I think at this point, throw it all out. These teams know what's coming. May the best team win.
Yeah, it should be fun to play it out. And again, we got a lot more coverage for you here coming on a Monday morning episode here of The Early Line. It's Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri from one championship series to another. South Florida could be the place to be for yet another championship. Now, the game isn't tonight. It will be tomorrow night, which is Tuesday. But understand this. Like, I don't have to be a big hockey guy to understand the ebbs and flows of a series and what makes sense. So looking forward to the last game they played, which was a 2-2 series tie. What a pivotal game back in Edmonton after a collapse from Florida. But you know what, Joe? I loved Florida. Not because of the fact that they're a good hockey club. Yeah, we understand that. They're in the Stanley Cup Finals and won a championship last year. But understand this. Whenever you have one side, like Sergei Bobrovsky, we're not talking about, hey, we're going to pull that goalie. He's really struggling. There's really a head game here. The fact that you saw Edmonton just coming there, oh, who are we going to start as a goalie, immediately forced me to bet the Panthers, and I love them. And they go right out and take that early lead in that game, 2-0, get the 3-0 lead, and never look back. Talk to me about Edmonton in a Stanley Cup final where you don't even know who your goalie is. Come on now. You can't bet that side, can you?
Listen, two reasons why I loved Florida heading into the Stanley Cup. One of them was goaltending, and the other was coaching. If Paul Maurice in a million years would never have done what Knobloch did there. Listen, Picard is a backup, and he's a backup for a reason. You bring the backup in, Donnie, just like you did in order to spark a team, in order to be able to come back and win. And they did that. What you don't do is create a controversy and panic by starting the backup goalie in an all-important game five. The minute I'm with you, I'm like, what are we now? You're going to go back to Skinner on the road where you had to pull him last game to begin with? It just, again, coaching and goaltending usually plays a big part in who wins the NHL Stanley Cup, and Florida's got an edge in both of those spots.
Like, it's really simple to play out as a coach, too, right? Like, you understand you don't like the way Skinner's been playing here, and Picard came in and gave you a little bit of a boost there. You win that game. But that's when, right after the game, you go, there is no controversy in goal. Skinner's going to start next. He just didn't have it tonight, because then you build him up. And even, Joe, if you get into game number five and Skinner gives up a bad goal in the first 3 minutes, it's okay to pull him at that point and say, okay, well, it just wasn't his. We tried to prop him up. But the fact that it's like, we're going to go backup, when you know that backup isn't a great goal. It's not like you have Dominik Hasek. Hey, just came out of retirement. Looks fantastic at 29 years old. Let's put him in there and get hot. That's not the case here. You didn't have a pedigree goalie coming in. I thought that was certainly a tough look for them. Now, as we take a look at the standings here for the series, look at this. The Oilers, a +310 price as a dog, -400 for the Panthers. And for me, beating the Panthers back-to-back, won their own building, and you still got to beat them if you do there, take it to a game number seven. I don't know. Like, I don't want to buy in on the Oilers at +310. I don't know if I want to lay the -400, but boy, it's going to be hard for me to say I think the Oilers can win this series. It looks like a Panthers series from here on out for me, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what the couple of games that Edmonton has lost, they have lost epically. The games in which Edmonton has won, Florida didn't play its best hockey. I can promise you Florida coming home has no interest in hopping back on a plane to go across the continent to play a game seven. It's over in game six. Sorry to tell you, Edmonton. And I don't care who you're putting in goal.
If you're Florida, you understand the task at hand. And it's not like let's just say it was Florida, and I know it can't happen, like Tampa Bay in a Stanley Cup final. It's like, all right, we got to go like 100 miles, 75 miles. Do you think that Florida wants to win a Stanley Cup? Like, you know what would be awesome? If we lost at home, which everybody wants to celebrate on their home ice.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Love this, man. Stanley Cup, NBA action all at once, entertaining series of overtimes galore in the NHL, which I want to focus on something which I always think is interesting. We talked in the NBA just a little bit. Hey, you know what? OKC, if they win, you know it's going to be SGA winning the MVP. But understand this. That's the NBA Finals MVP, Joe Ranieri, which some people don't understand where, oh, the Conn Smythe, that's the same thing. Stanley Cup Finals MVP. No. Stanley Cup Playoffs MVP. The reason I bring that up is, if you're just watching from a finals perspective, it's Brad Marchand. Like, you know what? If it only counts in the Stanley Cup Finals itself, he should be the runaway. And you say, wait a second. Sam Bennett here, minus 165 price. Marchand is plus 440. That's ridiculous. Because once again, it's the entirety of the playoff run, which Bennett does have, I believe, more points and also more goals. Now, Marchand, if he scores a Game 6 overtime winner to give them the Stanley Cup, could that be enough to propel him? Yes, it could. But understand this. Is it just Bennett and Marchand for you? Or how about this? Bobrovsky's 110-1 price. Could he stand on his head in Game 6 with a shutout and possibly take that down? How are we feeling about the Conn Smythe trophy odds right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook here?
Yeah, listen, I think Marchand still, from a value perspective, even at, what, 4 or 5 to 1 here, Donnie, is not a bad bet. Keeping in mind, again, this is a popularity contest. The one thing I can guarantee is that the Conn Smythe is not going to a losing team. So, a player on the losing team is not winning the Conn Smythe. When this series started, the overwhelming favorite was Connor McDavid. He got his first goal of this series last game. So throw him out. It's Sam Bennett who leads, I believe, in all scoring in the playoffs. He's got more goals than anything. And ironically enough, I believe almost all those are on the road, which is hilarious here. But Marchand could very well steal the show. And if you can get him at 4 or 5 to 1, that's your value play if you don't have a ticket in the Conn Smythe market yet.
Let's take a look here. Game number 6 will be tomorrow night down there in Sunrise, Florida. And I find this interesting. The opening number, Joe, at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey, a minus 140 price. It is a little bit higher at minus 146. There are some minus 150s out there in the sportsbook landscape. A total, once again, at 6.5. I they're both really good teams. It could go either direction. I didn't think, like in the last game that was home for Florida, that, you know, Edmonton were able to come back and win, and they did that. But I am surprised that it opened up as a minus 140 price. I thought that would be around that minus 160. Now, granted, the series hasn't really said, well, it's a blowout either way. These teams have played very good hockey. But it did catch me by surprise. Like, I think that number's a little bit cheap on Florida. I just do.
I agree with you here. I think when you look at both of these teams and the path here and the fact that the Panthers already beat Edmonton a year ago for the Stanley Cup, and everything we heard about this team coming into it was that they retooled, they brought in different players, they built themselves to beat the Panthers. And yet, Donnie, we have watched them make the same stupid mistakes that they made last year with the two best players in the world on the team. You know, some teams, it's just hard to get over that hump. How many years did it take Jordan to beat the Detroit Pistons, right, before he gets started? Edmonton's just, to me, not there yet. And the fact that your coach and your goaltending situation is suspect, you're not winning a game on the road for the Stanley Cup championship. One team has been cool as a cucumber. The other team has been frantic. Who are you going to go with? I'm with you. I think this should have been a much higher price. And it may get there before it's all said and done, too, before the puck drops.
We'll find out right away. It's going to be fun here. Again, a Stanley Cup can be won tomorrow night in Sunrise, Florida. It can be the Panthers here. If they don't win that game, we go to the almighty game number 7 back in Edmonton. For the NBA tonight, a winner cannot be decided, but you want to take a stranglehold on that series by going up 3-2. OKC can do that tonight as a heavy, heavy favorite. And speaking of heavy, heavy favorites in Major League Baseball, before the season and in a season, it has always been the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League. If we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here on the pricing here to win the NL pennant, it always starts and feels like it finishes with the Los Angeles Dodgers at a plus 130 price, followed by the Mets plus 440, then the Cubs at 7-1, along with the Phillies at 7-1 before we get to outside of 10-1. But if you look at the standings currently here in the National League, it's not the Los Angeles Dodgers here, Joe, with the best record. It's the New York Mets. Even though the Mets did get swept over the weekend, still in first place with 45 wins in the NL, followed by the Cubs at 44 wins, the Dodgers at 40 wins, and the Philadelphia Phillies at 42, followed by the Giants. So let's start here once again. It seems like it always starts with the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's no panic in here, but I think some of the expectations were, 43-29, which is a good record. We expected them to have 60 wins and 10 losses or what have you here as they would run away with the Major League Baseball season. How do you factor in the Dodgers with that heavy price, but still not in first place technically in the National League in that pennant race?
Listen, at this point, a lot of people thought the Dodgers would be up 8 games in the West. True. And you could pretty much stick a fork in everybody else. And now all of a sudden, they're forced to push up the timeline of Ohtani being able to pitch as he returns to the mound because the injuries have piled up with that rotation now. And now you're bringing up Ohtani. The more Ohtani does like pitching, the bigger risk you have of him being hurt and other things going wrong. Still a ton of baseball to play here this season. But at this point, you can't tell me the Dodgers are worth investing and holding your money up for plus 130 at this point, Donnie. No way.
Yeah, you take a look at that pitching staff here. It's just injured. And as we know, Joe, I always equate it to, hey, in Madden, you can turn the injuries off. You can't do that in professional sports. But the one thing we do know, so deep and so talented with prospects in an endless pocketbook that they can go out and spend their way into, hey, let's get another starting pitcher. News broke over the weekend. Who are they looking at now, Joe? Sandy Alcantara here of the Miami Marlins saying, oh, well, he's probably going to be up and we can just add him to the rotation. Now, Sandy hasn't been all that great this season, as is, but just giving you the heads up that even though they're stacked, if those pitchers come back, they're always looking to add on. But let me ask you this question, like, for real or not for real, how are you feeling about those Chicago Cubs? 44-28, a really good lineup. Pete Crow Armstrong has been absolutely spectacular. The pitching staff has held up, even though Justin Steele down for the season with the elbow injury. Do we feel like the Cubs can be a player here at this point? Because when you're looking at the pricing, they're third in line.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the – I don't like the pitching staff. I don't like the bullpen. Imanaga is still questionable as to when he might return. And by the way, they can barely beat the Pirates. They're not scoring any runs either now.
Yeah, you know what we're going to do here in this next segment, Joe? I'm going to ask you a team. Can they get up off the mat, or is it just a wrap for 2025 in the National League? We'll find out who that team is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is it over, Joe Ranieri? Tease before the break right here on the early line. Major League Baseball, National League. Like, we got some separators here. Like, we know the Mets are a good team. The Cubs are a good team. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Giants making moves now with Rafael Devers. The Padres are waiting for them to wake up. Who's going to come out of the Central? Can the Brewers fight? Can the Reds fight? Are the Diamondbacks going to wake up? But, Joe, that's not the team I'm talking about. 19-1 right now to win the pennant. That's those Atlanta Braves. Strider's back. Ooh, finally had a good performance. Ronald Acuna has been sensational. They sit at 31-39 and got embarrassed yesterday by one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So let me ask you this question. So a long way to go, but you are what your record says you are. 31-39. It looked like the Braves had it going for a little bit, right? Back over 500. Okay, now we found our level. They're just a bad baseball team right now. Are they redeemable with a legitimate chance to, one, make the playoffs and do some damage?
Well, listen, currently right now, they're not worth anything. The bullpen has been absolutely suspect. You would hope that when Acuna got back, that the offense would get a little more consistency. That hasn't happened. Now, Strider is still trying to work his way back in. He still doesn't have the kind of command he did. It's going to be a minute before that happens. There isn't a whole lot. When you're throwing out Grant Holmes every fourth or fifth game here, Donnie, to be your starting rotation, starting pitching, and it hasn't changed, you've got some issues here. And not even so much pitching, but this offense is about as inconsistent as I have seen. It's not clicking, and until it does, you can't take the Braves seriously at all. But they've also shown an ability during the trade deadline to go out and try and improve the team. So, I would wait and see here with the Braves to this point.
Yeah, just waiting for them to wake up. Like, the players are there. Like, if Strider comes back, I understand you miss Smith-Shawver there with the elbow injury. Schwellenbach's still good. They'll make some moves here. And I trust that front office, like you said, because it isn't as if we have 30 games left in the season. The majority of the season is still there. And also, the expanded wild card, where more teams, I should say, are making it in than in the past. You still have opportunities. But, boy, they don't give you a lot of life on a day-to-day basis. Like, what is going on at this point? Yeah, that's the Atlanta Braves. Let's switch it over to the American League, because what year is it? Like, is Sparky Anderson, the manager of the Detroit Tigers, they lead the American League at 46 wins, 2.5 games clear of the New York Yankees, who were losers of their past three games. The Detroit Tigers have lost their past two as well, but still holding on up top, which is crazy. Followed by the Yankees, the Astros, and the Rays in the standings here. If we look at the odds, the Yankees at a 2-1 price here to win. You take a look at the Tigers, plus 290. The Astros coming out of nowhere, it feels like, here in 2025, after being, feels like, buried early in the season. They're now in third place in the odds market at a 6-1 price. It feels really top heavy right now, but the heaviest team, the Detroit Tigers. How about that?
Listen, they were a very public bet preseason to run the tables and win the Central and win the pennant and yada, yada, yada. And the reality is, this team has been fortunate enough to have one of the weakest schedules to date, Donnie, and it's not their fault. You only play the teams that are in front of you. But the reality is, outside of Skubal, I'm not buying this Detroit team. And not even so much pitching-wise, I'm not buying them offensively either here. Mm. I think the Tigers are a sinking ship at some point. They will come back down to reality. I don't think they'll be there come September when we're talking about the top teams in the American League.
You know what's interesting, too, about the American League as compared to the National League? It feels like it's more up for grabs. Like, we know the Dodgers are going to be there. You know the Phillies will be there. The Mets look like they're good. Who knows if the Braves can get it together? But the Cubs actually look like a really good baseball team, one of the better 1-9 lineups in the National League. But I say to myself, I say, all right, well, if it's not the Tigers and it's not the Yankees, like, it has to be somebody. Like, the Astros aren't overpowering, but they're waiting on Alvarez to get back as that power bat in the lineup there. That could help out. Jose Altuve playing better baseball than he was to start the season. The Rays, the Jays, the Mariners, the Twins, and the Red Sox. There is a team that you could get a great price point, because I like the Rays lineup, you know, 15-1 now. I like the Blue Jays, 16-1. Who knows if the Red Sox actually had addition by subtraction here, and they can catapult once they get some of their players back and the young players in that lineup start to provide. Is there a team, Joe, let's just say 15-1 or higher, that you feel might be able to make a run at this pennant?
Yes, the Rangers. Absolutely, the Texas Rangers. It is buy low, and right now you can get them low. Great start by, if they can get Kumar Rocker to do what he did yesterday and start settling down a little bit, DeGrom is DeGrom again. This is a very dangerous team. We know when healthy, that lineup can score runs in bunches. I like Bochy, like the Rangers' opportunity at this price.
Wake up, Corey Seager. We need you, baby. We need you. We'll be right back. More Major League Baseball Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball day-to-day, we love it. Like, it's that ultimate poker game, Joe Ranieri. Each and every day, a new hand that you get, a new set of lineups here, new pitchers on the mound, and momentum, as they say, is only as good as the pitcher that you have on the mound the next day. Let me ask you this question about yesterday. A lot of teams out here, it's hard to sweep teams, right? Three-game series, even if they're bad baseball teams, you expect they're going to get at least one. So many sweeps yesterday in Major League Baseball, and that's not even where, Joe, I'm going to start on this one. There was a game that finished 10-1 yesterday. The losing pitcher had 15 strikeouts in that game, and 10 runs were put up by the Colorado Rockies. You might say, like, oh, wait a second. Was that the Yankees in Colorado? Like, did they, you know, score 15? No. The Colorado Rockies beat the Braves 10-1 when the Braves starting pitcher had 15 Ks. Help me, Joe. Help me on this one.
It gets worse than that. The Braves were actually losing 1-0, even though that Grant Holmes, the starting pitcher, had not allowed a hit or a walk through five innings, and they were still losing the game. Not to mention, Colorado brings back Austin Gomber off the IL, hasn't pitched since March, And he comes in and absolutely dominates, allows two hits, no runs in five innings, making his season debut. It could not get any more embarrassing for the Atlanta Braves than what just happened yesterday at Truist Park, no less.
Absolutely incredible. And by the way, we were bringing this up yesterday on the show because you know how the lines pop up briefly there for the overnight lines? Did you know the Atlanta Braves, when Gomber was announced to start with Holmes on the mound, flashed at minus 500 here in New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook? Now, granted, you got a great discount of 360 at game time, but that's the type of talent we're saying. Like, you know, if mine, this is automatic. Like, I'm going to throw this in every anchor leg of any parlay because it'll add minimum action, but it's a guaranteed winner. Like, it wasn't even 3-2 or 2-1, Joe. They got beat 10-1 in that game from the Rockies. So the question's again on the Braves, can they wake up? Boy, that's certainly not a good sign. It's somebody waking up here. And how about the Red Sox cleaning up the Yankees this weekend, which included a 2-0 victory yesterday where Bello was fantastic and outdid Fried. The Yanks in a little bit of a free fall. The Red Sox like, hey, Devers, thanks for that home run. See you on the West Coast when we see at this point. The Sox here starting to build some momentum in 2025 by taking down the Yanks.
Well, yeah, but the problem is the Yankees have stopped hitting here. They've kind of hit a bit of a rough patch, and that usually starts when you have Aaron Judge striking out, what, 9-10 times in the series, one hit.
Oh, boy.
He came up with an opportunity yesterday, I think, first and second in that game where he could have gotten in the eighth. It was still a 2-0 game, and what does he do? He hits into a double play against Whitlock, and that was the end of that. So, you know, the Yankees' bats were red hot to start the year. You know it's a long season, Donnie. It's going to go through moments like this, but confident enough that the Yankees' bats will figure it out here at some point and get back to scoring runs. But right now, there's no point looking at overs in their games.
No, and by the way, the New York Mets, if we just go to another New York team here, one of the better teams in Major League Baseball, came into the series against the Rays flying high and mighty on top of the NL East here. Most wins, I should say, in Major League Baseball. They get swept by the Rays. And sometimes, like, we need case studies. There has to be something that goes into the Rays where every year, like, I don't know a single player on this team, starting pitcher and or in the lineup, and they're always good. It looked like the season wasn't starting out all that well. Now, 39-32, here come the Rays, always doing what they do, sweeping the Mets on the road as the hottest team in Major League Baseball. 9 hits, 9 runs yesterday. Shut the Mets out. The Rays, man, can't kill this team.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets, I think, were one of only three teams heading into yesterday that had not been swept yet in the season. And, well, boy, that ended rather quickly and embarrassing there. Canning got lit up by a lineup that knew him very well when he was with the Angels and had a lot of success against them. But credit to Tampa Bay. They've had to go through a lot playing in a minor league park of the Yankees in Tampa. The hitting wasn't quite there, but they got low back in that lineup there. The younger guys are really starting to hit. And the pitching has been phenomenal. The hallmark of the Rays is always what an amazing middle relief, back end of the bullpen. They don't need a guy to go 7-8 innings. They can mix and match guys all day long in that bullpen, and they're really starting to show up for them.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Like, some, again, it's a long season. The ebbs and flows. You can be playing great baseball, like the Mets were, lose three straight. The Phillies were playing great baseball. The Pirates handle them easily. Same thing with the Milwaukee Brewers. Then they bounce back, you know, in their homestand, 5-1 overall. It's just wacky to see on a day-to-day basis. But also, how many sweeps were in the forecast for this past weekend in Major League Baseball? Fun times here. And we're only midway through the month of June. Now, Mondays typically don't have the deepest card here, Joe. We have, what, 3, 6, 7 total games on the card and some interesting series nonetheless. So why don't we fly out to the West Coast here, because the Dodgers are going to take on the Padres tonight. Cease versus Kasparius. And if we look at the line here, it's a minus 152 price overnight at the opening number. Today, we sit at minus 156 as a favorite for the Dodgers. The total in this game listed at 8.5. The Dodgers did play on Sunday Night Baseball last night, came away with a victory. But the question tonight is, not about who the Dodgers and is it going to be Kasparius or how long he's going to go. Shohei Ohtani expected to be the opener tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers. How about them apples?
He has not pitched since September of 2023, which also happens to be a couple of months before he signed that 10-year, $700 million contract with the Dodgers. Listen, who knows how long he's going to go? It's going to be a work in progress. But, you know, to me, this is all about it's great. You're a two-way player. We don't have many of them. We never have mm-hmm. them anymore. But it's not easy to all of a sudden I got to be a, you know, I got to be a great hitter. And now I got to be a really great pitcher every fifth day as well. It might take a little time for Ohtani to adjust. In the meantime, the Padres, and they looked like they were having a hard time over the last couple of weeks scoring some runs. Mm. They figured it out yesterday, but this is a tough spot for the Padres. But they also have a history of doing well against these Dodgers in Ches Ravine. So should be an interesting game. I think it's a coin flip game at best here, but all the value will be on the Padres because everybody's going to run and bet Ohtani because he's pitching tonight.
Yeah, I tell you too, Dylan Cease was fantastic, Joe, in his last start. You're sort of waiting for him to like bounce back. Like the ERA was a little bit high, but the XFIP has always been there because he's a big strikeout guy. Great last performance. You see if he can roll that over. But let me ask you this question. You know, outside the lines of the game, you know, will the Dodgers win? Will the Padres win? What's the goal for Shohei Ohtani? Because do you find it interesting where it's like he's a starting pitcher? We want to treat him as a starting pitcher, but let's get him as like an opener, which he's never done that before. Or does he turn into a closer this year? Is this just the start of he's going to pitch one inning and the next inning out, it's two innings? Like, what's the game plan for the Dodgers? And are you surprised that it's like, yeah, he's pitching, but he's the opener at this point?
Yeah, again, this is going to be a work in progress. I mean, he hasn't pitched since 2023, Donnie. I mean, this is as good and as talented as he is, that's asking a lot from him in order to be able to get there. So I think if Dave Robertson, I'm sure they've already discussed it, it's going to be pitch limit city for him from this point on. I think they figure if they start him now, by the time September rolls around, they should be able to get a couple of quality starts heading into the postseason from him. And that's in a short series, that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, and also, how long is it? Because Kasparis is listed as a starter. I don't even know if that's actually correct at this point, with obviously Ohtani going to open, but also from him as a perspective. Is this just a bullpen game for the Dodgers? Last 30 days, he's had 16 total innings pitched, but actually has 8 appearances in games here. So maybe a full game where it's the bullpen for the Dodgers going up against Dylan Cease, and you're getting what? Plus 130, plus 125 or so here as an underdog for the Padres. That total opened up at 8.5, some other outlets listed at 9. So it should be interesting to watch it play out. And also, how do they handle Ohtani? Like, okay, he pitches the first inning and then he's still the DH. Does he come out of that baseball game? And also, what are the overreactions, Joe? What are the overreactions? Ohtani pitches one inning, gives up 3 earned runs. What happens?
No Jackson Merrill either in the concussion protocol, got knocked out of that game against Arizona. So that's a big bat that the Padres lost here.
Exactly. Maybe it's up to Cronenworth and the boys in that lineup to handle their business. More Major League Baseball, which includes Miami, South Beach, Philadelphia Phillies. Let's get after it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Major League Baseball on a Monday, as we just told you. Boy, late night West Coast, what's going to happen? Shohei Ohtani is going to open up for the Dodgers and what that entails, because we are going to have hot topics immediately once he enters that game and he finishes on the mound and what he's actually going to do at the plate. A couple base knocks yesterday, too, in that victory for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But today is a new day. Many other Major League Baseball games, which includes the Philadelphia Phillies, after a strong homestand and a bounce-back performance against the Toronto Blue Jays, now head down to South Beach to take on the Miami Marlins. And you used to say to yourself, "Woo, man, you want to play the Marlins, but you want to avoid Sandy Alcantara." Not necessarily the case anymore at this point now. 6:40 start tonight, 9:51, 9:52 on the rotation, Joe. Opened up as a slight favorite towards the Philadelphia Phillies. If you take minus 125, that's actually lower. We're basically at a de facto pick'em live right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total listed at 8.5. The young pitcher, McAbel, had a couple good starts in Major League Baseball, roughed up a little bit in his last start. Maybe Sandy Alcantara can start rounding back into form. No Bryce Harper once again expected in the lineup for the Phillies. How do we see this playing out? Unders? Sides? What do you think of between the Phillies and the Marlins?
Well, I mean, kind of crazy, because you've got a Philadelphia team coming in off a sweep of what was the red hot Toronto Blue Jays. And now you got Miami, who completed the sweep against the Nats yesterday. So both these teams are rolling right now, finally starting to figure it out offensively. Still no Bryce Harper, for the Philadelphia Phillies. But the kid that they brought up, this kid Otto Kemp, actually had a huge weekend series there against Toronto. And listen, Philadelphia at home has always been one bet, Donnie. You know this. Philadelphia on the road, that's another thing here. And looks like Sandy's getting a little bit more comfortable as he pitches. I still don't trust the Miami bats, but how can we bet anything other than an under in this game, which is the only way I'd look at this game between these two teams right now?
I'm with you on that. I am. Understand this, too. I love the Phillies. Like, the Phillies cranked out 18 hits yesterday, Joe. Scored 11 runs. You love that. But sometimes you have to dive in a little bit deeper to that. The Phillies' power is really gone. I think it was one home run, maybe two doubles in that game. So 15 base knocks were singles, which, again, you will take that. But most of the times you get 18 hits in a game, you're looking at 16, 17, 18 runs because multiple extra base hits combined with walks and home runs, you really power surge. The Phillies will take this at any point. And you're right about Kemp. A lot of singles coming up here, which you'll take from that lineup, which was really dead. 6, 7, 8, 9, giving you nothing in that Phillies lineup here for the majority of the season. And Kemp looks like he might be a player at that position. Something certainly to watch out for here. Let's move it over to the Bronx, New York today. Not a lot of great conditions. Maybe a little rain in the forecast, cooler temperatures. The Angels with Soriano on the mound going to take on Clark Schmidt and the New York Yankees. 957, 958 on the rotation. 705 start tonight. How about a favorite here? A minus 210 price for the Yankees at FanDuel overnight. Now shifted down a little bit to minus 196. Minus 210s, minus 205s, minus 190s. Also from other outlets here. Total listed at 8.5. The Yankees, that's a little bit cold. Colder temperatures in the Bronx. Do they wake up today against the Angels?
I don't know. You can't lay $2 with the way this Yankees team is playing. I mean, Aaron Judge is coming off his worst series of the season. I mean, heading into Boston, I believe he was close to having a 400 average, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, he goes 1-for-10, 1-for-11. He strikes out 9. I mean, he's not even coming close to hitting the ball. Give credit to the pitchers of the Red Sox. I don't think the Angels pitchers are in that category. Maybe a little bit of home cooking, but now 18-for-55 in his past 15 games. He went 1-for-12 and scored 4 runs, but my goodness. If Judge doesn't hit, Yankees ain't scoring, and I'm not buying it at $2 here. I'd almost even look at a under in this game, too, at 8.5.
Woo, Trouty and the boys there. Taylor Ward, if you cannot hit, you must have quit, Joe Ranieri. Come on now. We need the Yankees bats to start waking up here, and it starts with Aaron Judge. But by the way, Giancarlo Stanton expected in that lineup sooner than later this week, so maybe adding an extra catapult in the middle of that offense here. Boston and Seattle, Giolito versus Gilbert today. 961, 962 on the rotation, a 940 start out on the West Coast tonight. 165, 170 at the opening number here at FanDuel New Jersey for Seattle's the favorite. We're now seeing as high as minus 188 live and higher at other outlets around a minus 195. Look at that total, though. Open up at 7.5. You see it now in that graphic. We're down to 7. We are expecting a great pitching performance out of both teams, or is it just, well, that ballpark's hard to churn up some runs in?
Well, I mean, Giolito had a great outing during the week against Tampa, I think last time he pitched. It's hit or miss with him. And Logan Gilbert, I think, hasn't pitched since April when he was on the shelf here. So first start since late April. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get from guys like that. So, and I have no idea what we're going to get from Boston now that Devers is gone here. I think the total's a little low, though. It's 7.
It is.
Might look to back and over in this one.
Also, you take a look, too, at Lucas Giolito. Last 23 and a third innings pitch, Joe. His last 5 starts combined over the past month. 5.40 ERA, 4.63 xFIP number. Now, granted, sometimes you are saved a little bit by pitching in Seattle, but also balmy in Seattle, Joe. 71 degrees at first pitch at night in Seattle. I mean, what is it, time for a beach party up there? You look at the lineup. Doesn't look all that great from Seattle's perspective going up against right-handed pitching over the past month, but there's always my guy Cal Raleigh in the middle of that lineup, Joe. Did you know his last 76 at-bats against right-handed pitching? Up at a 415 ISO and a 421 weighted on-base percentage. It feels like it's a new Red Sox team, right? It's only one player that left, and it's Rafael Devers. Not as if, like, Babe Ruth left the team. It's like, oh, what are we going to do the rest of the season? But now it's up to some of these young batters to really step up, and maybe you can do that tonight. But also, the questions of Gilbert's one of their aces coming back into the fold. This is what we waited for. The young, talented pitching staff to time up with the bats here for Seattle. Maybe they get on a run starting tonight with the healthy pitcher back.
Yeah, and again, Logan Gilbert he looked great in spring training coming out. He had that, you know, dead arm that happened, but he is without a doubt one of the better frontline starters in the American League. They need him, Seattle. Plus, they're coming off a three-game sweep of the Guardians this weekend where the bats have actually come alive again. So, yeah, it's if Boston comes out and smacks Seattle, then we know exactly why they traded Devers.
Yeah, we'll take a look at a few more Major League Baseball games after the break here. But look at this lineup. Not something you expected heading into the season. Durant, Toro, Narvaez, Anthony, Story, Mayer, Campbell, Hamilton, Rafaela. What? What lineup is that? Right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball. Hey, man, seven games on the card today. Ohtani getting the start as the opener out there in Los Angeles. A lot of interesting things to take a look at, which includes the Houston Astros starting to surge a little bit. First place out there in the AL West. Today, they're going to take on the Athletics in Sacramento, a place where all hitters like to go. It's going to be McCullers on the mound. He's had a pretty decent bounce-back season so far, at least over the past 30 days, going up against J.P. Sears, 963, 964 on the rotation. A 10 o'clock start tonight. Look at that total, Joe. Love to see it. 10.5 runs, Coors Field, West Coast edition here. And a favorite here for Houston, around a minus 156 price. Other outlets as high as a minus 165. McCullers versus Sears, Houston. I think those bats probably rise up tonight against Sears. What are you thinking tonight?
Right, they better. I mean, great rise sweep up of Minnesota, but my goodness, let's be realistic. 3-2 on Saturday, 2-1 yesterday. It's not like we're getting a ton of offense here from Houston. Yeah. McCullers is a guy that is getting better and better after each start. You know, he had that one terrible start there, kind of skewed the numbers up a little bit, but he has gotten better and better every time he has gone to the mound here. And Sears, I mean, listen, he's still one of the better lefties for the Athletics. Hard to sweat an under in this spot here, but my goodness, do we trust the Houston bats to do enough to get this thing up and over here, Donnie?
We should. But by the way, J.P. Sears here with an 8.75 ERA over the past 30 days. Maybe just that environment, the heat and humidity out there in Sacramento, small minor league ballpark here, that ball's going to travel. By the way, put that graphic back up on the screen, Joe. I want to test you with something right now. Now, if I were to tell you that you took like hours and hours to come up with a tagline for the game. What do you think about Out West as the tagline of that one? Does that take a long time to think about? Like, was that a hard one?
That is this game. That is impressive. Yeah, that's actually impressive. Well done.
I had to bring that one back. Right, up
maybe
here.
They Let's charge go. By the word for yeah, these graphics. Exactly. I don't know. That might
is
be
that
it.
Spielberg? Who wrote that? You know what I mean? Steven Sondheim, whoever. I mean, somebody put that bad boy up there at that point. Out West. Woo. How about Baltimore and Tampa? Not out West. We're down in Tampa, who I love. The heat and humidity getting into that ballpark. But this game, only an 8.5 as a total from the opening line of nine, I should say. A favorite here. Minus 126 is overnight. We're at a de facto pick 'em now. You see the graphic at 122. It's even less than that now. Eflin versus Pepio. Tampa comes in hot here. Baltimore is actually playing better baseball, which there's nowhere to go but up from how you started your season. 7:35 start tonight. What are we thinking? That can we get runs down in Tampa in this all-important divisional duel?
Baltimore, that lineup has finally gotten healthy. Yep. They're starting to hit. And more importantly, the bullpen is starting to settle down and be actually a pretty good force for Baltimore here. It's kind of hard to look at an opening number of 9 and see the total drop down to 8.5 here. But it's also hard not to look at Baltimore right now and how the confidence that they're playing with. So wouldn't shock me if Tampa loses the first game in this series tonight, but I'd be looking to play them again tomorrow night at home here. I would lean towards Baltimore in this one.
Yeah, both similar xFIPs between both these pitchers here. Last 30 days, Zach Eflin is at a 3.82. You take a look here at Pepiot at a 3.66. We'll see if the bats can wake up, and we always love it. See, we talked about that A's atmosphere. Sometimes it's not about the pitchers. It's just about how hot it is inside of that ballpark. Same thing here down in Tampa. Love to see that. One more game on the card tonight. We'll hit Colorado and Washington. Palmquist, get ready for this one, Joe. His last 18 innings pitched, his ERA is at a 7. His xFIP, 6.20. Uh-oh. Taking on Jake Irvin here of the Nationals. How about this? The Nationals, a heavy favorite at minus 188 as it currently sits here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some outlets closer to minus 200 for the Washington Nationals. This fresh off Colorado yesterday, pasting the Atlanta Braves show.
Yeah, but in the Nationals, in Palmquist's defense, he is not pitched to that ERA. He hasn't faced the Nationals lineup here. They can't hit water if they fell out of a boat right now here. So hard. Runs are going to be hard to come by in this game. 9 is a pretty lofty expectation here for the Nats and the Rockies. I'd only look at the under in this spot.
Yeah, take a look, too, at Palmquist. His last 89 batters, Joe, that he's faced. How about a 282 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 416? Doesn't strike out many batters. Lefties and righties hammering here. Looking at the Washington lineup, but having said that, he's still a left-handed pitcher, which does give some teams problems, and lefties have given the Washington Nationals problems. Outside of Alex Call and Ahmad Rosario, everybody else really below the belt here going up against it. And then you take a look at the Colorado batters, which you always have to take with a grain of salt. How do they hit in Colorado as opposed to Joe? What? How do they hit outside of Colorado? 72 degrees in the nation's capital. It's not a great game overall for that. It is what it is. That's baseball. Hour number 3 up next is Joe and Don.